Let's take a look at Psalm 81. Psalm 81. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm of Asaph. Verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery. Blow up the trumpet and new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Let's pray. Eternal Father in heaven, we pray that you would speak to us from your word. Help us to understand these Old Testament parables, these accounts, and these instructions for your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now this psalm, as Yinfei had shared, is basically to teach or to show Israel's deliverance out of Egypt. And really, this psalm was meant to be read or to be sung during the Feast of the Tabernacles. You know, the Feast of the Tabernacles was held during harvest time. When once the people had their harvest, they were thereafter to worship God. And part of the reason why it was during that time was to acknowledge that all that they had, the bread, the grain that they had, came from God, and to remember a time when all their provisions were directly from God, from heaven. So the purpose of the Feast of Tabernacles, the purpose of this psalm, which was supposed to be sung at the Feast of Tabernacles, was to remember their deliverance from Egypt. Right? Now there are three sections to this psalm. You see in verses 1 to 5, there's the call to worship. Secondly, from verses 6 to 10, there's a call to remember. And thirdly, from verses 11 to 16, there's the call to repent. Now firstly, we want to examine the call to worship. Now it's a specific call, and it is to be used at the feast itself. Now how do we know that? Well, verse 3 says, blow up the trumpet in the new moon, in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. Now, the Feast of the Tabernacles started on the new moon. Okay, so it was to blow the trumpet. I don't know why they said blow up the trumpet. I suppose, you know, that's how they said it during King James' time, right? Blow up the trumpet in the new moon. And that was the start of the solemn feast day. All right? And the Feast of the Tabernacles started on the new moon. Now, verses 6 and 7 speak of how God watched over them when they were going through the wilderness. So, we know this is about the Feast of Tabernacles, and during the Feast of Tabernacles, the people were to come together for 7 days. And in 7 days, they were to live in huts, okay? This is like enforced religious camping. Right? They were supposed to go outside of their homes, they were to build tents, right, or huts made of leaves or grass, and they were to live under those for about 7 days, and this would give them a reminder. It would be a very, full reminder of how their ancestors had gone through the wilderness wandering. Now, there are several things that we can learn about worship here from verses 1 to 5. Now, firstly, we learn here that worship is done with gladness of heart. Verses 1 and 2, it says, "Sing aloud unto God our strength, make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the psaltery." Right? They were to sing aloud, right? To God, make a joyful noise. So the people here were taught to gather everything, to give it to God in worship. This act was a reflection of the rejoicing that they ought to have had in their hearts. They were to sing, they were to strike the tambourine, they were to play the harp, right, the lyre, and the psaltery. They were also to blow the trumpet. Now this was all to be done joyfully, right, make a joyful noise. Now the principle that we learn from this, obviously, is that everything that we do in worship is to be done from the heart. From the heart. So we do not simply come to God's house, we simply do not sing, we simply do not just hear the sermon, but we are to labor in all of these things to do it out of a grateful heart. Now the psalmist here is calling on us to worship God with all that we have because of what he has done. Now, I think this was, I think we have to remember that this is done in the context of the wilderness wandering. God wanted the people to remember how God took care of them and to worship him with all of their hearts joyfully. Now, why is this significant? It's significant because God took care of them. It's significant because if they realize how God has taken care of them, then a heart response. Now let me ask you, when the people were in the wilderness, when they received food, when God took them out of Egypt, when he gave them quail, he gave them manna, he gave them all of those things, did they rejoice? No. No, not at all. Right? They did not. So here the psalmist is calling them to remember. But it is a call to worship that if you actually know what God has rescued you from, there should be joy in worship. So worship should be out of a grateful heart. It's done with gladness of heart. Now the second thing that we are told is that we see in verses 4 to 5, "For this was a statute for Israel, and the law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony." So worship is a joy, but secondly, worship is also a duty, right? Now this is a duty because of what God has done. Now thirdly, worship of God should be done out of gratitude. Verse 5 says, "This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony, when he went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not." Now what does this mean? He ordained it in Joseph. Where in the world is Joseph? Well, Joseph is where God's people were. Now, Joseph could refer to a number of things. Last week we saw Joseph, right, was who? Manasseh, Ephraim, and Benjamin, right? That was the northern kingdoms. Do you remember that from last week? Maybe not, right? But here, Joseph is talking about Egypt. The people, why Joseph? Because they were Joseph's people, right? Joseph's brothers, Joseph's father, everyone had gone to Egypt. So God had ordained this feast, right, in Joseph for a testimony when they were going through or out of the land of Egypt. So the psalmist is reminding us what God did for Israel while they were still in Egypt. When they were Joseph's people in Egypt, God rescued them from a land where they did not understand the language. Right? The Egyptians spoke Egyptian. Of course, the Hebrews spoke Hebrews. So they need to worship God because God had delivered them. This was a duty, and they had to worship God out of gratitude. I think this was very important to teach the people, because the people, right, if they did not know they were supposed to worship, they would complain, right? Now, in order to teach them to worship, the psalmist now calls them to remember. That's the second point. He calls them to remember how God delivered them. Now, he called them to remember, firstly, that God heard their prayers. Verses 6 and 7, it says, I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were delivered from the pots. This is what God did. He took, you know, their shoulder was on the burden because they were, right, they were fixing things, they were using the shovel, they were making, right, bricks. So he removed them from the burden. His hands were delivered from the pots, right? Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Now it says here, I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. What do you think this refers to? Where was their thunder? Right? This was at Mount Sinai, right? God heard them. Remember Moses? His sheep got lost. Then the sheep went. Then Moses chased it up. He was on Hebron, Mount Sinai. And then God spoke to him there. And remember in Exodus, what did God say? I have heard my people's cry. That's why he sent Moses to go back into the land, right, to rescue the Jews or the Israelites from Egypt. So God heard their prayers. So that's what they were to remember. Now secondly, what else were they to remember? I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. Do you recall what happened at the waters of Meribah? That was the place where, you know, the Israelites, we have no water, you know, God brought us all the way out here so that we will die. They complained. So this is where God told Moses to strike the rock, and the waters flowed, and the people had water to drink. So what were they to remember? They were to remember, firstly, that God hears their cries, but secondly, they were to remember their bad behavior, right? They were to remember their bad behavior. I think this is quite important, right? It's quite important to remember not just God's blessings, but it's important for us at times to remember our bad character, right? To remember that despite what we are, despite what we were, God still provides for us. So that was what happened, right? They complained, there was no water, God sent Moses to strike the rock. So God heard them, God taught them, God rebuked them. Now Israel at that point in time would have learned that they were impatient, untrusting, unbelieving. that they did not desire God above all, that even though he had led them out of Egypt, they were still an ungrateful people. Even after he had given them the law, they still broke the commandments that they had just heard by building a golden calf. So it was important for Israel to know that not only did God answer prayer, but it was important to know that it was important for them to know how they behaved during their trials. You know, when we go through our trials, we ought not to be like the Israelites. And that's exactly what Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 10. You know, he had to teach the Corinthians, right, who may have been going through trials, that we as God's children should not be like the Israelites, who complained, who sought after idols, who tempted Christ. And these things were written for our admonition. Now that's why we see in verse 8 of Psalm 81, warns, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me." All right, then in verse 9, right, he quotes the first and the second commandments, right? He says in verse 9, "There shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god." All right? Remember, right, God hears your prayers, but remember, we need to remember also our bad behavior in doubting and not honoring God. All right, so God here, or the psalmist, quotes this because this is exactly what happened in the wilderness. They complained against God. They did not believe God. Now, if we were to look at the Westminster Larger Catechism and take a look at the sins against, the first commandment, some of the sins that are unbelief, misbelief, distrust, despair, charging God foolishly for the evils that he inflicts on us. So the Israelites, they went through the wilderness, and then they didn't have any water, they didn't have any food, they started to complain. And they said that God was the one who was responsible for all of that. So they tempted God, they tested God, they behaved badly. And I'm sure all of us, when we sit down, we can determine truly, when it boils down to it, whether we love God or not. You know, now we say, yes, I love God. He has delivered us from our trials. But are we bitter at times? Are we angry at times? Do we believe that what we are going through, the trials that we're going through in our lives, are, is because of the unfairness of God? So, the psalm of the people, when you went through the wilderness wandering, God remembered and he heard your cries. But remember your ancestors, they behaved very, very badly. They behaved very badly. And so, this psalm includes a third call. And that is the call, to repentance. In verses 11 to 16, we see two things. Now, firstly, we see the ungratefulness of Israel. Now, while God provided for them, even in their trials during the wilderness, they had, manna, they had meat, they had water, they had clothes that never wore off, yet they were ungrateful. Verse 11 says, "But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me." I suppose that means would have none of me. Right? And what we see is Israel, despite being led, despite having received the laws of God, yet they did not hearken. So what do we learn? Because they did not want to follow God, God let them go their own ways. Right? Verse 12, we see here that God gave them over to the stubbornness of their own hearts. And this is really a scary thing. God loves us, but at times, we do not want to listen to him, and God simply allows us to go our ways. Now, this was the case with Christ. Right? Christ came to Israel. He came to his own. He came to Jerusalem. He showed by his miracles that he was Messiah, even though the people wanted him to say it and to do more miracles and to prove that he was Messiah. He knew that even by doing these things, even God proving that he was Messiah, the people would not listen to him, which is why, you know, Christ cursed the fig tree, which is why he was so harsh. Remember his lament when he was on the Mount of Olives and he looked at Jerusalem? He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you under my wings?" Right? Like a hen gathereth her chicks. "But you would not." And this is exactly what God is saying here in verse 13. Right? It's almost exactly the same thing. God is grieved. You know, it says here, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." So here there was unrepentance. But if there is repentance, God will have mercy. All right, that's the second thing that we learn. Verses 15 to 16, it says, "The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." Right? So the haters, they would not have submitted themselves to him. Right? But if they did, God would have fed them with the finest of wheat. With honey out of the rock would he have satisfied them. And really, you know, this psalm here is reminding the people, God is a good God. We have to worship him because he takes care of us. But remember that even though you may know this, this is not something that you will do easily. All you have to do is look at the people of the Exodus, the wilderness wandering. They knew that God was good, that he had rescued them, that he had taken them out of Egypt, that he had given them food. But what was the result? They didn't hearken unto him. Their hearts were hardened. So the tabernacles was a reminder to the people to look at themselves, to look at their bad behavior, to look at their ingratitude to God. And I think as we study this psalm, it is a reminder to us as well. You know, God has delivered us from sin. But how are we living our lives for him? How do we worship him with gladness? Or are we like the Israelites? You know, are we not following the commands of God? You know, are we still compassed about by unbelief, disbelief? Do we attribute to God and blame God for all the things that happen in our lives? And I think it's a good reminder for us because we oftentimes tend to take our Christianity for granted. You know, we come to church, we worship God, we try and serve God, and we need to have frequent reminders. You know, and that's where the Lord's Supper comes in. You know, how, knowing that God has delivered us, how grateful are we? How much do we remember his deliverance in our lives? So as much as the Feast of Tabernacles was a means by which, along with the Passover and other feasts, a reminder to Israel to look back. You know, for us, it's the Lord's Supper. And even during these times that the Lord gives us these passages to study, you know, it's a reminder to us to think back and to consider, you know, how we have paid the Lord back in the way that we have lived. So with that, let us close in prayer. Eternal thank you for Christ, who has rescued us. We thank you, Lord, that you are always there to listen to our cries and our pleas. And we know, Lord, that you have rescued us from sin. Lord, we also thank you for the reminder here, the urgings here for us to recall how we have lived our lives for Christ as a result of our salvation. Indeed, Lord, we have often been ungrateful. We have not obeyed your commandments. We have not believed in you as we should. And so, Lord, teach us to be penitent in our hearts, to always stir up affections for Christ as we remember the deliverance that we have experienced. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.